Bet on Bears fans. Another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, Jason McKee. If you're on the YouTube side, first off, clearly we've both gotten raises on the podcast over here because J-Mac is out here. Where you at? You in Bangladesh? Where you at right now, dog?
Close location, getting my Cliff Kingsbury on, man. If I tell you, you know what's going to happen. If I tell you where I'm at, I'm out, you know. So just
are you drafted from there? That's the question. Are you drafting from there?
I'm somewhere. I got all my stuff. I'm taking all my draft notes. I got my iPad, my phone, got my Cliff Kingsbury on back in the day.
The fact that it's just a swimming pool in the back. It's in a regular neighborhood, too. I can see the neighbor's house in the background. This man is literally just in, like, Tinley Park right now.
Just know I'm out here, baby.
Hey, man, we got a lot to get to today. Literally, as we finished recording yesterday's podcast, we got the news that Jalen Johnson had been placed on the franchise tag. Dropped a video yesterday about that on the YouTube side as well and on the podcast. So check that out. But also got to talk about somewhat of a interesting question here. Is this kind of the save time scenario, or is this the, you know, we're going to give you a prove it year to make sure that what we saw at the end of the season is who you actually are? So got to get into that with J-Mac. And then the players not tagged yesterday, the players that weren't tagged yesterday, some interesting names there that I'm not going to lie. If the Bears did a clean sweep within free agency, I would be very excited about what they picked up. Except for one. I mean, y'all know how I feel about running backs. There's always that running back name. And that's just no disrespect to the position, but it's a lot of money for a back. All that and more. And then EO giving us some interesting something or nothing questions. I like how he framed that. We have no idea what these questions are, so we got to talk about those as well. All that and more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Lead a 5-star review. J-Mac, what's going on out in Thailand, man? How are you?
Yeah, everything's good, man. The weather's great. You know, I'm getting out of that bipolar weather that you're experiencing there in Chicago. I see you got the beautiful skyline in your background, man. But hey,
yeah, it's gray though. You see, it's gray.
You know where I'm at, man. I'm putting my toes in the sand. You know what I mean? Got the pool out back. Talking draft. It don't get no better, man. Let's get into it. What we got today?
Let's start it off with Jalen Johnson, man. JJ ends up getting a franchise tag. It is a $19.8 million franchise tag, and this to me. It still stems from the conversation that we heard from Ryan Poles at the draft, where he said he felt like they were coming strong when it talked about money, when he talked about years, felt like the money that he was putting on the table for Jalen Johnson and his crew. He said, in fact, quote, when I say come strong, that means cash flows are strong, guarantees are strong, the terms are strong for him. Being with his age, there's a really good opportunity to go back on the market again and continue to earn money and play well, and hopefully that's with the Bears for a long period of time, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
But with the tag being placed, this is a non-exclusive franchise tag. This would leave you to believe that maybe there is a situation here where the Bears feel like they've come with their best offer already, and Jalen Johnson says this offer is not good enough. So now they're allowing him to go out there and talk with other teams. Now, with that being done, if he does decide, or if the Bears don't decide to match, Bears have first right to match. Yep. If they don't decide to match, you get two compensatory first-round picks, which is a great thing to end up getting at this point in time if you're talking about future draft capital and stuff like that. But we'd all rather have JJ. So at this point in time, does it feel like Jalen Johnson is maybe overvaluing himself, or do you feel like he's kind of still at that right value? Because we've done this experiment twice. Yeah. He's gone to the other teams in the NFL, and they've told him a couple of times, like, we're not willing to pay that price for you.
Yeah, I just think it's for the Bears, it just gives them time to try to negotiate the right deal. And Ryan Poles has also said that, you know, he and Jalen Johnson have a good relationship, right? And he said they've texted on numerous occasions, and he's texted Jalen Johnson and said, look, I can't give you everything that you want. Like, you know, and as a player, of course, you got to have high value and high expectations for yourself because you're trying to get top dollar and trying to maximize your earning potential. And when you look at Jalen Johnson, he has a right to feel that way. And I'm never going to say that a player is overpricing himself, especially being a player and knowing what these guys have gone through. You know, on a consistent basis, you're trying to make sure that your family's taken care of for the rest of their lives. And, you know, and the way he's played, you know, especially last year, I think he played really well. And he's a guy who, you know, who's played well, but he's been a key cog in that locker room, right? In terms of leadership, in terms of being a great teammate, in terms of being, you know, what a Chicago Bear embodies and what you want your Chicago Bear to be. And I think Jalen Johnson embodies all those qualities. You look at how he's brought the young guys along and really helped those guys make plays. You know, Tyree Stevenson and Terrell Smith, he brought those guys along. And like you said all along, Pat, we were at training camp. Every single time that those young rookies came off the field, or whether or not they was an individual period doing drills or they were staying after practice, who was right there with those guys? It was Jalen Johnson. You know what I'm saying? So when you have that type of leadership combined with the ability to make plays on the field, and not just regular plays, but impactful plays, and that's something that the Bears wanted to see this year. They wanted to see, could he be a shutdown corner, but also could he get the takeaways? And he had a career high, four of them this year. You know, he only has five in his career total. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm not trying to be negative with Jalen, but I mean, how many interceptions could he have had this year? You know what I mean? How many did he drop? So, I mean, he's a bona fide playmaker, second team All Pro, first, you know, made his first Pro Bowl this year. And I think they get the deal done. You know, I think at the same time that, you know, Ryan Poles is going to do what's best for the team, you know, in terms of, you know, the dollars and if it makes sense. And if it's, you know, financially moving forward, does it make sense for the Bears organization to keep to continue to set them up to have sustained success and be players in free agency? And, you know, I think that Jalen Johnson, you know, I think he wants to be here. So, you know, I don't see Jalen Johnson, you know, not being in a Bears uniform next year. I think this deal gets done. And I'm excited to see him continue to excel as a player, but I'm also excited to see him continue to build upon his leadership role, because, you know, next year there's going to be more rookies in this building. And, you know, Jalen Johnson is one of the leaders in that locker room. And when you have a guy who's been in the locker room for a while, you know, it's very impactful in terms of what he can bring to a locker room to aid in the development of young players.
Yeah, no, I think that Jalen, here's the one part about it that I love, right? Jalen played himself to this point where you have to have these tough conversations on, hey, you got to give him more money. At the beginning of the season, right, the Bears were lowballing him. That's the understanding that we have. And Jalen was like, I feel like I'm worth more than that. But at the beginning of the season, I think a lot of us were like, the lowball number is probably the right number, because guess what? I pay DBs to take the football away. I understand everything that goes into takeaways. You need the pressure. You need all of that. But I pay DBs to take the football away, and so you haven't done that. Once you start seeing the takeaways come in, now you list that, right? It's four takeaways at the top, but now everything else that's in there, you're talking about him as a top five, maybe top two or three DB in the NFL right now, right? When you list the pass breakup numbers, when you list the coverage numbers, when you list, you know, the amount of separation that he's allows, how many times a quarterback is actually willing to target him, right? Like, all of those things to me speak to trying to get this guy paid. But now, right, his value probably was already at $19, $20 million. He probably already felt he was there. Yeah. I think if Ryan Poles is willing to put the tag on him at $19.8 million, you would have to assume his number was probably close to there, maybe 20, 21, right? Maybe he resets the market, 22. Mm-hmm. If Jalen Johnson is looking for something like $25, $26 million a year, I think it's going to be very tough to do, but you all, like, don't at that point, don't you got to kind of go, thanks for playing the work version of our game. Have fun on the team that's willing to pay you $25 million a year as a DB.
Yeah. I mean, if they're going to give you two first round picks as well. Yeah. I mean, that's a conversation that, you know, obviously you're going to entertain, you know what I mean? If you're going to get that type of return for, you know, a key piece or a key player in your organization. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the Bears would take that two first round pick haul. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to come to where, you know, if Jalen Johnson's number is high, you know, I think he wants to be here, and I think the Bears will get it done. You know, they're going to have to meet each other halfway, because there's obviously mutual interest. I know Jalen wants to remain a Bear, and I know the Bears, like Ryan Poles has said over and over again, like, he's one of the priorities in free agency. Like, our free agency is going to start with Jalen Johnson. You know what I'm saying? So I think they're going to get it done. I think with – you know, I just think the way the Bears, the way they franchise tag him, is giving them an opportunity to continue to work through this deal with themselves and Jalen Johnson and his crew.
Is there any scenario in your mind where this is a where he plays it out on the tag, right? And I think that gets tough because right now, now it almost feels like disrespect. Now it's like, oh, you're not willing to give me the contract that I'm looking for. I'm not willing to come, right? It feels like disrespect on both sides at that point. Do you feel like that's a scenario that may come into play?
I say there's no way he's gonna, you know, play this deal out on the franchise tag. You know what I mean? I think. You know, the franchise tag, yeah, you get paid handsomely, but it's still a one-year prove-it deal. You know what I mean? And he did that last year. You know, he had a year to prove, you know, what he could bring. He had a year to prove that he could generate takeaways. He had a year to prove that he could be a shutdown corner and make plays, you know, in terms of pass breakups in the passing game. He also had a year to prove that he could be a leader and a key cog in a locker room, a young locker room that needs a leader to stand up and lead these guys and show these guys what it takes to be a pro. Especially a leader in a defensive back room that has a lot of young players in it. And he's proven that. So he's checked off every box in terms of what you wanted to see last year. Oh, yeah. Like, there's no way he's going to, you know, come in and play on that franchise tag deal.
And he's a young leader as well when you think about it, right? Like, yeah. I think Jalen's been here through now, what, two regimes? Man. And so we think of Jalen being like this a little bit older player. You look at it and you're like, oh yeah, he's like 24 years old. Like, he's still ridiculously young himself. He has not been in the NFL that long. And so, like, I think that you have to work a deal out, but I also believe that there's a line that I don't want Ryan Poles to cross. For me, money-wise, right, if we start getting into I think the max for me, for Jalen, would be something like $23 million a year. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that you're resetting the market. You're making more than any DB is in the NFL. You're higher than Jair Alexander is, who I believe is at 20.8 or something like that right now. And you've outplayed Jair Alexander, so we want to reward you for being better than Jair Alexander.
100%.
But, like, when you get to 25, 26, 27, like, those are numbers that, like, I don't know. I'm not there yet. And I understand, like, the cap taking the big jump probably made Jalen Johnson reassess some things. Probably said, oh, we got an extra $30 million? Oh, well, that means y'all got extra money for me. You know what I mean? And I respect him for that as well.
As he should. I mean, you know, he wants to maximize his earning potential. And like we talked about that as a player, you only get so many years in this league. So, yeah. And the whole thing is, right, you want to get to that second contract. You know what I'm saying? Because that second contract is going to be your most lucrative. And, you know, and for some guys, it could be their last second contract. Some guys, they don't even get to that second contract. So with him, yeah, he's looking at all those scenarios that you brought up, Pat. More money available. Jair Alexander, you know, that's an old deal. I'm getting a new deal. My deal's got to be, you know, better than that, than Jair Alexander. So I think those are things that they've all been in discussion with. All those things are on the table. But I think at the end of the day, the Bears get this deal done. And I think it'll be a good deal for both Jalen Johnson and the Bears when it gets done.
I love the fact that we're having the one thing about this offseason that's great, right, is that the conversations we've had, though they've been very volatile, though they've been very aggressive for, like, on social media and stuff like that, I just want Bears fans to remember these are some of the best conversations we've ever had as far as offseason. We're talking about wanting to pay money to keep a 24-year-old top three DB.
Preach.
Or you get two first-round picks. We're talking about Justin Fields, who many people believe, who I believe can go out there and make plays and can become the dominant quarterback that we're looking for in the NFL. Or the number one overall pick and bringing in a brand new quarterback who is young and doesn't have all the scars that Justin may have attached to him playing football here in Chicago, right? Like, these are the best conversations offseason wise, at least I can remember having being a Bears fan.
Yeah, you got to give a lot of credit to Ryan Poles, you know.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, look at, like he said, from day one when he took this job, right? He said, I'm going to make sure that whatever I do, I'm always putting this organization to be in a point to where we can take advantage of every opportunity that we have, whether it's the draft, whether it's free agency, you know what I mean, whether it's the cap. I want to make sure that we're players in every scenario so that way every decision we make, it doesn't set us back. It's going to continue to set us forward so that way we can continue to try to improve this football team, right? And you just talked about it, right, Jalen Johnson. We talked about the franchise tag, but the way they did it, it gives an opportunity to work through a deal. But at the same time, if something crazy happens, right, you got to give us 2 first-round picks. We're set up. If Jalen Johnson leaves, we're set up to be able to, you know, continue to move this organization forward. Same thing with Justin Fields, right? Justin Fields didn't work out. He made the trade last year. First overall pick, we get DJ Moore. You know what I mean? We switch it. We get Darnell Wright. You get a boatload of picks. I mean, and now this year we have first-round picks number 1 and 9. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's – I mean, he's cooking. He's cooking, and it's great because he's sticking to his word, right? We've heard so many GMs at the podium here in Chicago say this, say that, right? We've heard a lot of coach speak. Coaches say this, coaches say that, and nothing happens, right? There's no action behind the words that they've talked about, right? The methods that they presented us with, they haven't gone through with the methods, right? When we look at polls, what has he done? He stuck to his method, right? He stuck to his process. Yep. He's trusting his process, right? He talks about his time on task. He makes sure he evaluates every different scenario, but at the same time, every decision he has made, right? And he made a couple bad ones, but for the most part, the decisions he's made, they've been good decisions, but they've also set us up to be players in the future. And that's why Chicago is right now. I mean, the Bears, you cannot talk about the NFL without mentioning the Chicago Bears. We are the center of the NFL right now. Like, we are the epicenter of the draft this year. Everything's in Chicago.
Yeah, and you see, nobody's really making a move. Nobody's really doing anything crazy until they figure out, okay, what do we actually have here with this team? What do we actually have here? What are the Bears actually going to do? And I think that that's the part that not even so much the attention, because I think a lot of Bears fans just want their teams to be talked about and stuff like that, as most fans do. You want to turn on ESPN and hear about your team on TV, right? But the fact that it's a – nobody else in the NFL can make a move unless the Bears make a move that doesn't feel like a back against the wall move. Yeah. Like, that's the part to me that I love when I hear about Ryan Poles, right? Like, hearing this conversation, I don't know what Jalen Johnson's people are asking for, what kind of deal he's looking for or not, but just hearing the Jalen Johnson conversation where Ryan Poles goes, we feel like we've done everything that we can to do right by the player.
Yep.
There's nothing more as a fan that I want to hear. We're doing everything that we can to do right by the guys who are going to be on the field trying to produce plays. Because, listen, as much as, Jerry Krause said, you know, organizations win championships, it's about the players on the field as well. The organization has to do right by the player. And so you want to put them in a position where they feel like they want to be here. They're confident in being here. They know that the organization has their back. And I don't know if we've had that organization the entire time, but it definitely feels like we have that organization now.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think for me, and, you know, being around this organization for a long time, being a player in it, and now, you know, going from being a player to a fan to now an analyst and working alongside the Bears, I have a sense of comfortability now. Seeing Ryan Poles, seeing what he's done, you know, since he's been here. And, you know, at first you kind of listen to the press conference, you see the guy, like, I hope he can stay true to his word. I hope he has a plan. And, you know, his plan, I've been really pleased with the plan that he's put in place. I've been really thrilled about the transition he's made throughout this roster from the first year he was here to last year's roster. You know, I think he's brought in competition at every level. Do we have everything that we need? No, but I think he's brought in a good collection of young guys in this organization that can be foundational pieces, you know, in this organization. And he's brought along guys that want to win and want to compete. And that's what you got to have, right? You got to have young guys, right? Because, you know, there's young guys, right? Just think about it. You're a young guy, you know, I don't know what some of these guys' backgrounds are, but, you know, young guys, you come from not having, you know, certain things. You come from not being financially stable. You come into the NFL, right? All of a sudden, you know, you're getting a nice paycheck. You're able to do a lot of things you couldn't do before. And that work ethic, right, and the love of the game kind of gets put on the back burner because now you're distracted by so many things that have nothing to do with football. And I think that the main thing when you look at, when you hear Ryan Poles and you hear Coach Eberflus talk about the type of guys they're looking at and characters at the forefront, because he said they keep saying, right, the one constant thing that they both keep saying is, we want guys in this building that love football, period. Yeah. You got to love football. In the playing this league, you better love football, because, I mean, you're going to be around it all day long. During the season, it's a grind. I mean, you're in that facility all day long, and the one thing that you're talking about is football. That's it. Football, football, football. And if you don't love football, I mean, you can't hide it, and this game will expose you if you don't love football, because you won't be successful in it.
Yeah, it's so crazy, because, like, you would think you make the NFL, you end up loving the game. You have to, right, to get to that point. Mm-hmm. But it's not the case. Some guys are just like, I think about who was the we had a defensive lineman that when everything went down with COVID, he was a young guy. He looked like he was really coming along. I can't think of his name.
Eddie Goldman.
Eddie Goldman looked like a dog on the field.
I worked out with him a couple times. He was awesome, man. He was a good – I think Eddie Goldman was a nose. I think he played nose.
Yes.
The thing about it is with Eddie, right, I worked out with Eddie a couple times. Awesome guy. I mean, huge guy. Perfect build for a nose.
All the physical talent.
He was athletic as all get out, man. Strong, athletic. And when that happened, it was like – what, he had the opt-out first, right? He did the opt-out.
Yeah.
And then he retired because of the love of the game, which was shocking to me, because I was like, this dude is a stud. And he played well when he had opportunity.
Yes. But that's exactly what I mean, right? Like, there is a love of the game aspect where, like, is this what you want to do? Of course, physically, you're built to do this. You're going to make millions on it. So some people do it because of that. And I think that that's the part where it's like finding that player that's not just trying to get himself financially stable. That's an aspect of it. And you love that. But, like, I think it's Coach Prime talks about, don't worry about the money, because if you worry about the game, money's going to come.
100%. You can't say it no better, man. Like, it's, you know, and I can just speak from my experience and, you know, some of the guys that I play with in those locker rooms. Like, I mean, football, like, we didn't want to leave the facility because of, like, it was such a joy to be there. For me, it was just an honor to actually get an opportunity to wear that NFL jersey, to put on that NFL helmet, to go out there on Sundays and play in the NFL, something that, you know, I grew up watching, something that I had dreams and aspirations of achieving. And it was like every day, it was like living a dream. Every day that I set foot at Hallis Hall, I would walk in and be like, wow, like, I'm here. Like, I made it here. Like, I made it. You know what I mean? And my hunger to not have that taken away motivated me and pushed me to go out there and to try to outwork the competition, try to do my job to the highest level, because I didn't want it taken away from me. You know what I'm saying? So there, it's like a catch-22. Yeah, the money's going to come. That's a byproduct of, you know, your production and what you do as a player. But at the same time, like, you got to have that mindset when you get an opportunity to get in an NFL locker room, to play in an NFL game, it could be taken from you at any time. So you got to go out there and continue to play like you haven't earned anything.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think that that's the kind of players that Ryan Poles is looking for. Yep. And that's why this organization, like, that's how, why we've been able to turn things around so quickly the way that we have. And hopefully that we keep turning this plane, it keeps moving in the right direction, man. Let's talk about some of the players that haven't been tagged, though, because there's some interesting names out here, though. I'm not going to lie. Like, there's some, yo. When you get the jump of $30 million in your cap, right, all of a sudden you go, ooh, well, what can I go shopping for? And you see all the names. You see the list of free agents. You're like, oh, this is – we got so many names. And then you go, tag. It's going to be nobody left. But I think that there are three key names to me of players who weren't tagged yesterday at the tag deadline that the Chicago Bears could utilize with the direction that they're trying to take this team. I want to get this first one out the way because y'all know how I feel about running backs. If you don't know how I feel about running backs,
we may argue about
it's too many of it's too many of them to be paying mugs $12 to $15 million.
There may be an argument about this one.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay. But I'm willing to have the argument forever. Like, I just say,
I know where you're going. I know who you like.
Oh, listen, I'm just throwing a name out here. Saquon Barkley was not franchise tagged yesterday. I think that he is. Listen, he's dealt with multiple injuries. He is somebody who's been beat up by the Giants organization. He is put in, if we want to talk about players, right, like Justin Fields being put in a bad situation, he was put in a bad situation. They was like, so we got no offensive line, no quarterback, and we got you. So you do everything. So I do think that he was used and abused out in New York. But would you be willing to go get Saquon Barkley for the Chicago Bears if the price is right? And what is the right price for you?
I like Saquon. I like him a lot. He's do everything back. I'm a little biased on the free agent running back market. I like Josh Jacobs, you know, a guy who he's played well out there in Oakland. Similar situation, hasn't had stability at quarterback, hasn't had the greatest offensive line, head coaching changes, you know what I'm saying? So similar situation.
He's had the worst, actually. Yeah. Didn't he go from Gruden to McDaniels? Like, that's got to be the worst.
And then the Pierce, you know what I mean? So at the end of the year, when Pierce stepped in as the interim head coach, so I look at it like this, right? A guy who's been productive, a guy who's had 3,000-yard seasons, another two seasons over 800 yards. He had 800 yards this year, was banged up a little bit, still had six touchdowns. The guy's only 26 years old, and he's a do-everything back as well. He's a three-down back. He's good out of the backfield, can do everything you want in terms of running the ball. Good in pass protection as well. So, you know, I like Josh Jacobs. I think you get him at better value than Saquon. And I was looking at Pro Football Focus, and they said the estimated or projected salary or projected, what did they say? The contract that he could get is a 3 years, $11 million a year, $18 million guaranteed, $33 million total. So that's what – and here's the thing, too. And with Josh Jacobs, right, I know – so – My agent, he has Josh Jacobs as well. And, you know, he's a guy, Josh Jacobs, I text him, hey, he looked great in the Bears uniform. And, you know, he's like, hey, there's mutual interest. And that's what he told me. There's mutual interest. So I'm not going to say that the Bears are, they're going to go out and put all their chips in and sign Josh Jacobs. But from my understanding, hey, from my source, everybody's got sources now. I actually have a source that actually represents Josh Jacobs. You know what I mean? It ain't no damn source that I made up. You know what I'm saying? Just so I can put on Twitter and just, oh, the Bears are going to sign Josh Jacobs from a source. I'm telling you, my source, you know, it comes from a credible source, my agent, and who represents Josh Jacobs. He said there's mutual interest. So, you know, I know from his standpoint, Josh would love to be in the Bears uniform.
You know, you just set the world on fire with that one, though, right? Because it's an actual – here's the thing. It's an actual source that, like, you could physically pick up the phone and be like, hey, so we good on that?
I did pick up the phone, and I'm just telling you what was told to me. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I just know that there's interest from Josh Jacobs' camp, which includes my agent.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that team that we all love.
I think what I love about it is that this is a source that doesn't just magically go away when you're wrong.
I had to sip the coffee after that just to
right.
Hey, to prove an even better point.
Sips tea. No, like I just love that. Like, this is like a source that, like, my favorite part of all of this is, like, everybody had a source through the Justin Caleb stuff. Oh. And now that it kind of seems the direction we're going, maybe what some of the sources weren't saying, it's just like, hey, you know, players mess up. Like, wait a minute now. Hold on. Like, you were so dedicated to this. That's very interesting, though, because I think one, you're going to get Josh Jacobs on a better deal. Listen, it's still a lot of money for a running back, but a better deal.
Easy on the running
than
back.
You would Saquon Barkley.
Easy on the running.
Because I think Saquon comes in probably around 12 to 15 million. I think Saquon maybe gives you a little bit more in the pass catching game, a little bit more of a weapon. But the one thing that I will say, and of course, my view of running backs very different from J-Max, but what I do believe is that when you have a rookie quarterback possibly coming in, you want to give him as many safety blankets as possible. And because of that, yes, I am willing to invest a little bit more money into a position that is a constant safety blanket for a young quarterback, and that is an elite run game. Josh Jacobs brings an elite run game. I think Saquon Barkley helps you out a little bit more in the pass, and they may work to Caleb's favor having an extra weapon there. But either way, I do think there needs to be some kind of addressing the position when you talk about the running back room, because you've got a young guy coming in here that you want to make that transition as easy as possible for. And if you like the best running back in the room for Justin Fields was Justin Fields. You know what I mean? Like that's not the scenario that we want to put Caleb Williams in, because Caleb or Justin Fields didn't come into the NFL as a runner. He got turned into a runner in the NFL.
Yeah. And you know, and it's tough because, you know, like you said, I got a different view of running backs. Obviously it's changed over the years, and you know, it's, you have a young back in Rashawn, right? You've got Khalil there. Foreman's not going to be back. So you have a void there. And I think that, you know, Khalil been injured in and out of the lineup. Has he been productive? Yeah, he's been really productive at times when healthy. You know, I think Roshan, I'm not really, you know, it was expected that Roshan, right? We were talking about him being the lead back, right? And I don't think he took that jump. Yes, he was a rookie. I think he'll take a jump this year. You know, he excelled at what we talked about all offseason and through training camp, pass protection, right?
Oh, yeah.
In terms of running the ball, like he didn't show me that he had enough wiggle. You know what I mean? He's just, I think, more of just a downhill guy. I don't think he's a guy that's going to make you miss and be able to take it the distance, you know, like a Saquon or Josh Jacobs, you know, guys that can, you can turn around and hand that ball up to 20 times. But if you don't hand the ball up to him 20 times, you know, you can put the ball out there in their hands in the passing game and they can be effective as well. And I think that's something that both of those backs bring to the table. Like, they're guys who can really, you know, they really can shoulder the load and create a lot of explosive plays for your offense, especially if you have a young rookie quarterback. If we end up going the route of rookie quarterback, then the pressure's not going to just be on him to be able to make plays in the passing game. He can turn around and we can be confident enough we can hand that ball off to both of those backs and they can produce offensively for us. And I think that's, you know, the comfortability of having a feature back, an every down back, is being able to take pressure off your quarterback and still have an offense that can produce because you can hand that ball off, but also split them out wide in the passing game and create mismatches that way.
And I think the one thing that we both would love about the scenario is, right, we're not getting what we got last year from Luke Getsy. We're like, you get four, you get five runs today, you get six runs today, we'll give you four. All right, Roshan, you get two here, right? Like, you get a scenario now where you're probably moving on from Khalil at that point if you bring somebody like that in. But you've got a guy that you can put out there for three downs. You also have Roshan Johnson, a young back who you're trying to develop, who you're trying to turn into something. Now he gets that time that guy's the lead back to become the next guy that possibly could be the lead back. That's how you keep those things rotating through. That's how you build that, right? We used to talk about Bill Belichick. Like, how does he keep finding these running backs out of nowhere, right? Like, you talk about Andy Reid, like Isaiah Pacheco out of nowhere. I mean, like, these guys are given time to have somebody else in front of them. They develop for a little bit, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, here we go. Now I know what I need to do because I had this guy in front of me. So I think that because of that, you make Saquon's life easier. You make your rookie quarterback's life easier with a Saquon or a Josh Jacobs, which a Josh Jacobs would be a very interesting get in that scenario. You make your backup running back's life easier, because I think an immense amount of pressure was put on Roshan to start the season because we all were like, well, he's the running back of the future. You got to go with him. And then he didn't get the football at all, right? Luke Getsy was like, I'm giving it to Khalil, I'm giving it to Deontay, and you get the scraps, go out there and block for the quarterback.
Yeah, and I think with Getsy too, I think it was, you know, he used the collection of backs last year because I think he didn't have that one back that had all of those qualities, you know, in them, in one back. You know what I mean? I think Khalil, good effective back, can make explosive plays, but lacks in pass protection, right? Deontay Foreman, good interior running, terrible at pass protection, right? Roshan Johnson, rookie, excellent in pass protection, right? So he had to make that complete back using all three of those guys, and I think that's why we saw, you know, this guy in on this series, this guy in on that series, this guy in on this series. You know, when we saw Roshan in there, we're like, okay, it's a pass. You know what I'm saying? Because he can accelerate pass protection. So I think if you have an opportunity, yeah, you're going to have to spend a little money, but we have money available. And if you can get that complete back that can do all of those things, as to where, hey, I can keep him in. you know, on third down. And I'm not tipping off the defense because we will turn around and hand this ball off if the situation presents itself, because I have a back that can do that. Or I can put them in the backfield, split them out wide, get them matched up on a linebacker, and I can exploit you that way because I have a back that can do all of those things. And, hey, if I want my quarterback to drop back, now I have a back that I can keep him in here and he can excel at pass protection. I don't have to sub him out and tip the defense off and say, hey, guess what? Roshan Johnson's coming and we're throwing the ball. You see what I'm saying? So that's the beauty of having an every down back.
Yeah, and a couple of good names out there. I thought another name that was very interesting that didn't get tagged yesterday on the defensive side, and one of those big boys that we definitely could use, Christian Wilkins did not get the tag. I thought that was one of the most interesting names put out there. Christian Wilkins coming off his best sack season, but we know what he can do as far as denting the pocket. We know what he can do as far as bringing that pressure. I think he would be a perfect name for the Chicago Bears up the middle. Do you think that the Bears would look at somebody like Christian Wilkins, or do you think that maybe they're kind of tied to the young guys that they just got last year with a Jervon Dexter and they want to keep letting that grow?
Yeah, and that's the biggest question. When I looked at that, Christian Wilkins, I think he'd be an ideal fit at the three technique. You know, I think he's a disruptor. He's good in the, you know, in the run game, and he can also generate a good amount of pass rush. He's also, you know, you can see that the guys love him down there, and, you know, they loved him in Miami. And I think that, you know, he's a guy who can make plays. I think he would be a great fit. But it's like you said, you know, you draft Jervon Dexter, you draft Pickens last year. Dexter came on towards the end of the season. Do you have faith that, you know, he can continue to develop and take that next step in the second season? And I think that, hey, they're like, hey, if we have two guys for that position, we save money and put those resources elsewhere. You know, I think that may be the road they take. I'd be thrilled to see Christian Wilkins in a Bears jersey, but I think they're, just for my opinion, I think that they're comfortable with Dexter and Pickens developing into their second year and taking that next step.
Yeah, I think that's something you definitely got to look for. And if you're going to have – you used high capital, right? There's going to be some level of, yes, Jervon Dexter did not show us what we wanted to see at the beginning of the season, middle of the season, came on more at the end of the season. But at the end of the day, you want a second-round pick to develop into a starter in the NFL. Like, those are starter-level spots where he was drafted at. And so I don't think that they're going to I don't think that they're going to just give up on Dexter and try and go out there and get the big name. But Christian Wilkins is a tough name to not bring in when he's out on the free agency list. Another name I thought was very interesting as well to address that safety position was Xavier McKinney. I don't know if you saw, he didn't get tagged. Free safety out of from the Giants. Young guy, Berlissimo actually put me on with this guy. Shout out Berlissimo, because if I didn't shout him out, he'd be very upset over in the UK that I didn't give him the shout out. Berlissimo, hey, he'd been in the chat. He'd be like, you have to look at this guy, 24 years old, a dog.
I haven't really looked at him, but, you know, I think that, I'm all intrigued by young guys that have shown the ability to make plays, not just big plays, but the routine play, right? When we talk about the routine play, something that we saw decline in with Eddie Jackson last year, right? How many tackles did we see Eddie Jackson just make a business decision on and not even act like he wanted to tackle him? And I'm a huge Eddie Jackson fan, you know what I mean? But, you know, he showed decline there. So I think if you have a guy, right, in your secondary, right, that can, one, you know, be the quarterback of your system, a guy that has experience, a guy you can pair with Jaquan Brisker, but a guy that's willing to make the routine tackle, but also shows flashes and the ability to make explosive plays and get takeaways and to be effective in coverage. And yeah, you got to look at that, because there's only so many picks you have in this draft. But we only have five of them this year now.
Only five now, because you traded for Ryan Bates.
Exactly. So you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to spend some money in free agency, and you're going to have to get lucky on some undrafted free agents who you like, who you feel can come in and possibly contribute or even earn a starting job.
What I love about McKinney is I think pairing him up next to Jaquan Brisker, he's been a very good ball hawk type of guy. And he's been in the league 4 years now, 9 interceptions, couple of forced fumbles on that as well. You know, like that's the thing that you would love to have paired up across from. I loved, right, like the dream scenario would have been the Eddie Jackson of 2018 paired up with Jaquan Brisker, the guy that was just like, I got somebody where I know he's watching my back and I can gamble. Here we go. That's the one thing that when looking at Xavier McKinney's game, the takeaways that he's been able to get and the, how the Bears were taking the football away last season, yeah. I think that he would be an asset that would be really good to get in here as well. And I think that he'd be a good addition on that back end that's not going rookie again, right? There's a couple options the Bears can go at rookie that I think would be interesting in the draft. But like you said, five draft picks, you got to make some decisions on some veteran guys, or you got to create a heck of a lot more draft capital because you still got a lot of positions you got to address.
Yeah, I'm more comfortable with having a guy back there that has experience, you know, and I think, you know, when that position, I'm hoping they take the road of free agency and just trying to find the right fit in terms of, you know, play style, playmaking ability, you know, being able to tackle, but also making sure it's the right fit financially for the Bears.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. It's all about fitting things in financially and making sure that, you know, money-wise, the Bears are going to be able to get everything that they need, but get impact players as well. That's the thing, right? We want the big name guys. We want the flashy guys, the shiny names. You still got to sign those impact guys. You still got to sign those guys that, you know, like – the glue guys almost, right? You want to draft those guys as well, but like you got to sign those guys that's going to be like, what's he do? He just dents the pocket really well. Yeah. How many sacks he get? Probably two or three a year. So what's he do? Man, listen, your edge rushers are basically going to be feasting on the quarterback running their way.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, we've been talking about the Bears, you know, being economically, you know, smart in the way they approach things. But at the same time, you're going to have to overspend. You know, you're going to have to take some, you're going to have to take a shot at somebody who you wanted. You're going to have to overspend, you know what I mean, in certain situations. So if there's a key piece and, you know, if you don't get what you want in the draft within those five picks, we're going to have to overspend in free agency. And, you know, looking at wide receiver, like if we don't like the receivers we have at nine, there's a lot of great receivers, you know, in this draft. We saw a lot of great performances at the combine, but the one thing that all these receivers lack is experience. You know what I mean? So you got to do your homework. You got to make sure that they're the right fit in terms of your scheme. But if I have an opportunity to go out there and find a free agent wide receiver that has showed production, that has made plays, but also has experience and that's reliable, that gives me another target opposite DJ Moore, but then, hey, I may have to spin a little bit, you know? I mean, hey, we got Chase Claypool. Well, I mean, we spent for, you know, we had him, like, we swung and we missed. You may swing and miss again, but you've got to, you know, you got to do your homework and find the right fit because that's a position of need, a high position of need.
Is the Claypool curse real? Can we officially say the Claypool curse is real? Like, he left us and we started winning immediately, and then all of a sudden he got to Miami and he just started like just a little bit like, wait a minute.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
I hope he ends up figuring out whatever he's got going on. But let's do our Toyota Road to the Draft question. We had this whole something or nothing segment planned, but instead we got to just go with our Toyota Road to the Draft question. And to do that, we bring in our producer, Erik Ostrowski, who's sitting so far away from me. EO, what's good?
I'm curious, J-Mac, on your opinion on, and I find this to be a savvy move, but on Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., a lot like the biggest names at the Combine did not bring their medicals to the combine. What do you think about that?
Yeah, different times, man. You know, before it's like, hey, every team's getting your medicals. Every team's getting a chance to give you a physical and get an evaluation. And at first I was like, hey, you know what? Caleb Williams is being cocky because he's like, hey, why do anybody outside of the top 10 need my medical? I'm not being picked outside of the
top 10. That man said top four.
Whatever he said, top two, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So why do I need to give them information that they're not going to need or they shouldn't be privy to? So I agree. You know, I think that, hey, you know what? I'm coming here. I know I'm going to be picked in the top five. I'm going to give the top five, you know, teams my medical and do the evaluations there. And let's keep it moving. So I have no problem with it at all. I just think he's, you know, times have changed the way they're doing things at the combine and the way these guys are moving. These guys are more mature. You know, they're getting money in college through NIL. So, you know, it's a situation where he's like, I don't need to give medical to all these teams that don't need it.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you 100% on that. Like, I think that it's when you look at the medical aspect of it, they know where they're going. They, right? Like, it's like almost like Deion Sanders saying, I'm not talking to y'all. right? We just didn't hear about it as much. Remember, like, all that didn't come out like that back then. Like, Deion was like, I'm not talking to y'all. Y'all not coming to get me. Why would I talk to you?
Right.
So I have no problems with the medical thing at all. I think that it's a I think it's more nothing than something if we're doing the something or nothing.
Think of one more quick one, something or nothing.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, one more quick one. What do you all take from the record-breaking 4-2-1-40 by Xavier Worthy? Translates to the game, doesn't translate. What position do you think that would translate the best to as well?
You know what? I think it, I mean, that speed, it translates to a lot of, I think it translates to receiver, it could translate to running back, but at the same time, right, how often are you just going to run 40 yards straight down the field in a straight line on a football field? You're not. So if you're a receiver like Xavier Worthy and you can run the route tree, but you're effective getting in and out of your breaks and creating separation based upon your route running, right, and then utilizing that 4-2-1 speed to really take the top off of defense, when I think you got a player, and I think Xavier Worthy is a guy who's just not, you know, straight line speed fast, who's just not 40 fast. I think he's a guy that can run, you know, a variety of routes in the route tree, and he's shown his playmaking ability there last year at Texas. So I'm really encouraged by it. I think he's going to be a player. And in terms of, you know, the running back position as well, if you have a guy that can run a 4-2-1-40, right, but he can't, he doesn't have good contact balance, he can't break tackles, you know, he can't run routes out of the backfield, well, then who cares how fast he can run in a straight line, you know what I mean? But if he can do all those things that I mentioned, right, be able to make somebody miss in a phone booth and then use that 4-2-1-40 to take that ball to distance, well, then we got something. So you got to have some you know, football acumen, some football qualities that come about with that 4-2-1-40.
Yeah, I agree. I think the one thing about Xavier that excites me the most is it doesn't seem like he's just speed. A lot of those guys that are the 40-time guys, the 40 warriors, right? They're just speed. And what do they do when they get to the NFL, right? I think of like a Velus Jones. What do we want Velus Jones for? Because it wasn't a receiver for most of his time here. It's been, can you return kickoffs? Can you return punts? Why? Because if you get the ball in his hand, he can do something special. The problem is getting the ball in his hand. And so, like, I think more times than not, those guys end up being like that. But Xavier kind of – he, to me, is more of a actual wide receiver. Like, his footwork looks really good.
Yeah.
His contested catches look really solid. His aggressiveness looks good. How he gets off the line looks good. Like, I think that he could actually be – I don't know if he's – because of his frame scares the heck out of me. Like, he's so small. What is he, 174 pounds or 75 pounds, something like that? Like,
yeah, I think he was even 165, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, Jesus. Like, that scares me in an NFL room. But, like, to me, if you put somebody like him in the slot and you utilize his speed in those to get those short bursts, those short moments that can turn into the big plays, I think that that's something that could be a real threat to the NFL. He got to add some weight. Like, he's scared the mess out of him. Right?
And so another guy who I look at who was, you know, Devontae Smith for the Eagles, right? Skinny guy, you know, I think similar frame. He didn't run as fast, we know that. But he's a guy coming out of Alabama who was a Heisman Trophy winner, right? And I was like, man, like, is he too skinny to play in the NFL? But the one thing that he's shown us, right, his ability to take a hit, his willingness to go across the middle and make a catch, knowing he's going to get drilled, his ability to make contested catches, but also his ability to run the entire route tree, right? If I'm going to if I'm going to draft a guy or spend a high pick on a draft just because he runs a 4-2-1-40, he's got to show me the ability to be able to run the entire route tree, right? He can't be a one-trick pony and just run a go route. That's what happened to John Ross. John Ross ran that record-breaking combine time. Everybody was enamored by it, right? The Cincinnati Bengals drafted him in the first round, and what happened? All he could do was run a go route. That's all he could do.
Yeah.
You know, if you have that type of speed and we're going to spin a pick on you, you got to be able to run the entire route tree, but you've got to show me that physically that you can play in this game and to make contested catches, but also taking a hit making contested catches as well.
Yeah, man. You can't be spinning picks on dudes that can just do one thing, like jump straight out of swimming pool.
No comment, no comment.
just saying, dog. Like one trick ponies, man. Like
we were talking about having a good offseason. We started to come off right, man. We had optimism in March and all of this stuff. And you got guys jumping out of swimming pools, man.
Jumping out of swimming pools, bro. Hey, listen, he's in your pool right now. Watch your back, J-Mac. He's behind you in the pool.
You better not be. I'm going to get my paintball gun and shoot him.
Hey, man, that was your Toyota Road to the Draft brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love to another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. We're going to start a thing here with J-Max just in a different city for every show. It's going to be Where in the World is Jason McKee. That's how we're going to do this for the rest of this year. Hey, man, love you guys. For J-Max, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Bear down.
Bear down, Chicago. Peace.